Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing on this fine day?
Good. I've started 2022 the way it should be done. Really, really busy, and my brain is exploding. But it's good to be here on a Sunday night. It's a pleasure to have to be here and broadcasting to the good Abroad Japan people.
I'm worried you're drunk or something. That was the most scattergun
intro.
I'm
tired and yet. Hot. I'm in the studio. I'm not in my little cabin. I'm in work. I'm in the studio, and I've driven in and I'd had too many coffees because I was too tired. And dearie me,
I forget. I've known you most of the time. I've known you. You couldn't drive up until September last year, right? The idea of you driving, it's a little bit weird. It's a little bit scary. How long does it take the drive into work, into London? About an hour?
Into London. In the morning, it takes... It should take an hour and 10 on a good day, but it frequently takes about 2 hours. So it's not ideal. But I am very lazy. I get up like 5:45 and I'm like, oh, I could just jump in the car. I don't need to sort of just dick about with the trains. Like, because I've got to get on like 3 trains effectively to get into work. But I'm just... And then walk. And I'm like, oh, I could just jump in the car. But
you can
take
sleep on the train.
It does take ages. You can, and you can do work, which you can't really do.
get a Tesla, and then you can sleep at the wheel. You're not supposed to do that. Don't do that.
No, you're not supposed
to be illegal.
Naughty.
I haven't had as an exciting day as that, driving into the gritty streets of London, but I do have my dinner. You can hear it. ASMR experience. Look at
What's
this.
That?
Can you read that?
Oh no! It's an obsession with mixing bright white cream ice cream with like a crepe. It basically, hold up again. Strawberry the cream. Does it say on the front?
No, it's better than that.
Oh, omelette the cream. Yeah, it's like an eggy, disgusting sort of sugary pancake with some bright white Tippex white cream, and then with 3 strawberries in the top. It looks absolutely fucking rank.
It's a new release from Family Mart. It's basically a chocolate eclair meets a crepe meets a strawberry. And yeah, omelette the cream. I just love that, omelette the cream. I wish I could have been there for the meeting. I just love, what should we call it? Should we call it strawberry cream dessert? Nah, omelette the cream. Omelette the cream. And I've also, with my omelette the cream, this is my dinner, by the way, I've also got this. A nice bag.
Oh, you got some Wotsits.
Wotsits.
Oh.
For those of you
Where
not from
you
the UK, Wotsits
from?
Are Cheetos. Oh, my family shipped them over with a ton of crisps.
Okay. And Chris, I mean, I will not have you saying that Wotsits are Cheetos. The closest British variant of the Cheeto is clearly the knick-knack. That's sort of taut, tight corn-based snacks, and I could not want. I don't want any of your bloody omelette the cream. That looks disgusting. But I very much now want a load of Wotsits and a lot of knickknacks and stuff like that.
Well, you send me some knickknacks, and I'll send you some omelette the cream in a suitcase.
Don't want it. Disgusting.
Along with Carlos Ghosn. We got a story this week from Johannes. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm Johannes from Berlin. Is it? It's not Johannes, is it? It's Johan, or is it? How do you say that? This is another name.
Johan.
I don't want to screw it up.
Johan.
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 Johan. All right. I'm Johan from Berlin in Germany. Huge fan of the podcast, guys, and I want to share a little story with you that me and my wife lived through when visiting Tokyo in December 2019. After a 20-hour trip with two layovers in Istanbul and Seoul, we finally arrived at our hotel in Shinjuku around 3 a.m. Man, I've done that. I've done that before. It will kill you. I remember that journey from London to Istanbul to Tokyo was so damn intense. But anyway, since we only had several packs of knickknacks and... Wait, did you read this story ahead or something?
What do you
knick-knacks,
mean?
Knickknacks. They're in the story.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't read that. Whoa.
It's fate, isn't it?
How did knickknacks come up? On this, and also, I think I said that it was a Sunday show. It's Wednesday, isn't it? Sorry, I'm getting very confused.
You're fine. Never mind. Since we had several packs of knickknacks, the British equivalent of Cheetos, and in-flight menus, we were craving some nice ramen. Lucky us, a 24-hour metropolis comes in handy for late-night dining, and we fell into our beds properly fed. The day of our arrival also marked my wife's 30th birthday. So after we slept in and explored the city a little bit, I successfully ended the day with a proposal in the rooftop bar of our hotel. She said... Yes, thank God for
Yay.
That.
Yay!
Unfortunately, Chris choked to death while reading the story. Unfortunately, around that time, I needed an emergency trip to the toilet from all the in-flight food. So I pushed for going back to the hotel room. Just in time, I made it to the restroom. Now, Japanese toilets seem like they would handle any material, but mine wouldn't even bother to flush. I ran out to call the hotel reception to ask for a plunger, only to be cut off immediately by a quick, "No problem, I'll come up in 2 seconds. Before I could have even screamed no into the phone, the hotel lady who had hung up walked into the room. And she stood there with two plumbers asking to let them in. I tried to explain what was going on, but the two guys walked in and there they stood, staring into the toilet. All I heard was a "Oh!" from two 55-year-old Japanese men staring into the restroom. They did what they came to do and helped me in my most vulnerable moment. Grateful that I was. My girlfriend, who's now my wife, proved me right this night. She stood by me through the worst, and we love to think back to that night dying of cringe. Keep up the nice work, guys. Johan. Bloody hell. That is like, I love the way that will define the sort of, the romance has just been washed away. The gesture of proposing is like, takes a back seat to that memory of a toilet that's broken.
Literally the back seat.
Oh no.
Can't get a plunger for bad emotional decisions you've made. Romantically.
Good God. Oh well. But well done, Johan. I'm glad you had a good trip despite that. crikey. I wonder what he ate in the 24-hour... He mentioned Tokyo being a 24-hour metropolis. I wonder where they went. That is a good thing about Tokyo. It's a 24-hour city. Mm. And nowhere in Europe really is. Actually, maybe some places in Spain. Maybe Barcelona.
Maybe Berlin.
Berlin.
It's pretty 24-hour, isn't it?
Yeah. Good thing about Tokyo, you can go to Yoshinoya, 3 a.m., eat a nice big cheesy Yoshinoya. Bowl of rice, live the dream.
God, I love Yoshinoya. It's so delicious. God damn it.
It is good.
God damn it, Chris. God damn
should
you.
Should have gone there instead of Omelette the Cream. Maybe I'll put Omelette the Cream back in the fridge and I'll get myself
Oh, you actually
down
have to keep it in the fridge. Disgusting.
It's Omelette the Cream, Pete. It's literally cream. A crepe with cream and strawberries.
Is that a fucking...
It's got to be refrigerated.
Something the Hormone. Do you remember that band who did that Winnie Upload song? Is it Minus the Hormone? No, Maximum the Hormone.
Maximum the Hormone.
Cracking band. Cracking stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Chris, we got a new story. And you're going to eat it like so much cream, strawberry, and pancake. There's a bit of a vending machine revival happening in Japan. I don't know whether you've noticed, but. Like, because of COVID happening all over the place, everyone's a bit careful about the human contact that they have, basically. And because of coronavirus and the pandemic and the variants that have obviously put stricken fear into the heart of everyone, there's been a bit of a vending machine revival. as retailers try and kind of pin their hopes on sales that they could be making without the use of kind of human, I think they call it untacked sales to customers, still nervous about buying food, drink and other items in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just kind of like the Japan vending machine system. The Japan Vending System Manufacturers Association. Apparently, it's the numbers of vending machines peaked in 5.6 million in 2000. A one for every 23 people. Then it fell down to 4 million, but now it's going back up again. So apparently the eclectic range of products that you can buy in the vending machines around Japan has got people, you know, interested in sort of getting vending machines and setting them up as little businesses. And you kind of see this around the world on, you know, those kind of like daily grind, kind of like city boy wanky sober Instagram accounts where they talk about drinking tap water and not watching porn and keeping your friends close and your enemies closer and all that kind of stuff and on the Instagram, and you have pictures of like famous celebrities like Tom Hardy and Tom Hiddleston, all the Toms,
and
The Rock, sort of saying, look, they get up really early and they work out and this is why they've excelled, etc., etc. This is why they're so cool and they've got cool watches and they fly on business class flights and upper class flights and private vets. I know, right? Great watches and fly on EasyJet. But like it's a little bit like that. But they talk about... it's a passive income where they basically, you spend all your money on vending machines and you stick a vending machine there and you refill it every now and again and that machine just makes you money passively. But, you know, it's non-scalable with one person. So all the kind of like crypto bros on Twitter, they always talk about buying vending machines and petrol stations and stuff like that.
I suppose you probably could make a pretty penny. You could probably make some good money out of it.
Yeah,
the world of vending machines.
Well, yeah, but they're saying so. The Japan Vending System Manufacturers Association are basically saying that they are that they're selling all kinds of different products. Hokkaido have started selling fillets of fresh salmon and mackerel after many of its regular clients closed during the pandemic. So you just got this vending machine, refrigerated vending machine, you'd hope, and you can buy a big fillet of fresh salmon. For your din-dins.
I have actually noticed this is a trend that's happening. Like walking down the streets in Sendai, there's a lot more sort of new vending machines popping up with weird product items. I saw one the other day that had like soy sauce and fish stock, and it was just there on the side of the street where you would normally find your sort of drink, like your coffee and your Bukkari Sweat. There was now like just everyday household items. And I have noticed that this is a thing that's happening and it's coming back. And when I was in Hokkaido for one of the last Abroad Japan videos, we went to this chicken restaurant. Surprise, surprise, a fried chicken restaurant. Zangi chicken, it's called. It's this kind of, karaage chicken. It's kind of Zangi's, the Hokkaido version of karaage. They sort of marinate the chicken, then batter it. And it's amazing. But at the front of this chicken shop, there was a big vending machine selling the sort of battered chicken. You could just get it out of the vending machine,
right,
which looked kind of cool. But it's coming back. It's exciting. I like vending machines. I'm a vending machine fan.
You talked very eloquently about how much about your love for vending machines. The pizza vending machine, obviously, been a motif that comes up time and time again on this show.
That for the first year of the Abroad Japan podcast, that bloody pizza vending machine dominated every episode. Like if you go back and listen through the archives, the annals of Abroad Japan podcast history, the pizza vending machine was just there all the time, and then it was gone. But I'd be up for some vending machine fun. I thought about getting one for the studio, but then could I profit from that? I have to fill it, wouldn't I? Effort, isn't it? I've got a gacha machine that I've still got to fill with products and toys, but I can't find the tool to open the gacha machine to get the gacha toys out or put them back in. So that's a taste of what's to come. Should I get a vending machine, I probably won't be able to open it, and it'll be a fucking disaster. But I think vending machines are cool. I want to spend a day just like living off of vending machine food and seeing if I can do it. And I probably can. But it will destroy my cholesterol. It will just be a day filled of sodium and it probably won't be very fun. But it'll do well because people like to watch that sort of crap, right?
Yes, but
I think so. Oh, you could, yeah, like a day in the life of a vending machine man, and you could just go and fill your vending machine, fill your boots.
Day in the life of a vending machine. Could be a work of art. Could be a work of art. But no, I'll keep an eye out there and see what we can find. I noticed also in supermarkets in Japan, they are, for the first time, getting rid of humans and replacing them with self-checkout machines, which are obviously very prevalent in the UK. We've had them for like a decade, and only now, in the last sort of 2 years, have I really seen it pick up here in Japan. They've really sort of pushing for that now. And I think that goes back to the whole keeping the number of interactions down to prevent issues with the pandemic and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see where that trend goes. I know in South Korea, they've got like an entire department. They've got like an entire initiative in South Korea to try and find ways of making society have less interactions with people. Like I read about
That's
like a library. Well, I don't know how I feel about it. It's kind of sad on the one hand, but I suppose it might be good for COVID and pandemics, but I don't know. But I'm all for vending machines. Bring them back. When I lived in the UK, I very seldom used a vending machine. My image of vending machines in the UK was very negative ever since I got a Kit Kat stuck. When I was going between classes one day. I didn't have much money. I was very hungry. And I bought a Kit Kat and the fucking thing got stuck. And it meant that I just, the rest of the day was a write-off. And just the amount of times vending machines break in the UK, it's just, it doesn't feel like a reliable course of action to use a vending machine.
They have got better. I would trust them more, especially the new ones that have cards. You can buy stuff on card, which was a very recent development.
It's just like, why can't we have vending machines that work in the UK? Why do they like break one in three or four times? And they use like the spiral ones where it like spirals around and it's just really tacky and then it just gets stuck and you have to bang the machine. Never got anything stuck here, not once in 10 years. So long live the Japanese vending machine. And at least one good thing has come out of COVID. More vending machines reviving in Japan. Go, yeah, woohoo. We'll be back with your stories, questions and comments in just a moment in the fax machine.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. Then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Matt. Hello, Matt. Hello, Pete and Chris. He says, I'm Matt from Minnesota. Wonderfully alliterative. My partner and I are planning a trip to Japan as soon as the borders open back up. And one thing we want to do is hike a little bit in the wilderness. But the way you talk about bears is concerning. Chris is obsessed with bears. You make them seem as if they're waiting to ambush anyone who steps into the woods. Are they as big of a problem as you make them seem? Thanks for all of the entertainment, Matt. Are there bears around every corner, Chris?
There is a man called Matt around every corner in Japan. You've got to watch out because he will kill you. Let's face it, I've never seen a bear. I don't know many friends that have seen a bear. I don't know many people that have encountered a bear.
That's what a bear who's pretending he's not a bear about you. That's what they would say.
Unbearable. I think the reason I bring up the bears so much is like a thing that came up so much last year. Is there is something weird about walking like through a mountain or out in the countryside and just think at any moment a bear could pop up and eat you or kill you. Or something. Like in the UK, we don't have that sort of existential dread walking through the countryside until someone comes around the corner in a car really fast and then it's game over. But like, I feel like there's something weird about it, just living somewhere where there's animals that can kill you, because you just don't get that in the UK. So maybe that's why. But honestly, I've never encountered a bear and I don't know many people that have. But certainly when I'm on Hokkaido, I will be a lot more careful in the countryside there, and rightly so, because that is where the big ones are. We got one here from Celine from Ireland. It says, Happy New Year, Chris, and Chris Dono and Pete Senpai. Greetings from Ireland. My name is Celine. Once the country reopens, I plan to come on holidays for 3 to 4 weeks and discover the country on a day-by-day feeling with only the JR pass and booked hotels in my backpack. There's so much to see that I fear I'll regret it much more if I overplan and miss out on something I'd intended to see than if I just go with the flow. So I was wondering, how realistic would it be to visit Japan without much of a plan? It might be important to note that I'll be a solo female traveller with broken Japanese as a third language. I don't know if that would change anything, but thank you guys, Celine from Ireland. I mean, Pete, you come to Japan without a plan. Any advice there? Mm. You're not a female solo traveller. Not that I know.
I'm not, no.
What are your thoughts?
I'm not, no. I think you should pick, out of 3 days, I think you should pick one thing that you want to do, and then everything else you can just play by ear. Because I always get into that routine where I've done the one thing, I've been to Himeji Castle over, and then I'm like, right, I've got to be in Tokyo in 3 days' time. I will just go on to the next big thing that's around me effectively. And that's the best way to explore it, I think. Just kind of go, don't over plan stuff. Don't over time yourself out, because to be quite frank, you'll probably need a day where you just want to sleep all day because of the bloody time difference and the old, the G-Saboke, the old, I've used G-Saboke so many times. I can't remember the British word for it. The English word for it. British word for it, innit? British word.
What's it called? Jet lag.
There you go.
I mean, my advice to traveling is I always pick a neighbourhood or a district where there's lots of things happening, and then I go there and just see what I can find. I do try and, if I'm going in a restaurant, I do always check it on Google to make sure it's at least got like 3.8 stars, because you're good to go. If it's got 3.8, good to go. But yeah, other than that, don't know. I recommend going with the flow. We always say here, make sure you book your hotels, because that is one thing that might sell out. But other than that, keep it. Just go with the flow. Japan's a really great country for doing things spontaneously and just traveling alone. And it is very safe, apart from the bears. And there we go again. But of course, if you do come here, Selene, get yourself some Omelette the Cream. Let's put that on your itinerary. Top of your list, Omelette the Cream.
Definitely, yeah.
Omelette the Cream. Got one here from Michael from the US. Over to you.
Yeah, got a message from Michael from the US. Thanks again for the great show. He says, hello to Chris, the magnificent and sexy boy Pete, from Michael in Rhode Island, USA. I love the show and podcast. I've been a fan since first watching 3 years ago during your never-ending journey of despair. It was a bad time for me as I was out of work with a sick wife and kids. But watching the cycle and getting to see you hang out with so many guests, Pete included, really helped me to get to a great place again and stay positive. Look at that, Chris. You're like some kind of magic tablet that people can take just by watching some of your content. What are some of the guests and friends you've had on the channel up to? I'm especially curious about folks like Kazoo, Hiroyuki, Alex Shapiro, Chaki, and Satoshi Ueno. And do you still keep in touch? Thanks again for the great show. Michael from the US.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of cool people there.
Yeah.
It's funny, for the first 2 years doing Abroad in Japan, I never collaborated with anyone. I always wanted to be alone and keep it that way. And then from about 2018 onwards, every video's got someone in it. Probably to the extreme too much now. But, you know, like, that's all the best memories you have are often with other friends, with other people. Kazu, she was awesome, checking out Matsuyama for the day. Hiroyuki, I need to speak to him. I haven't spoken to him in ages. He's a top man from Niigata. Alex Shapiro, I always hang out with him in Tokyo. Chaki, I haven't seen since I hung out with Pete Donaldson in Sapporo 2 years ago. And Satoshi Ueno, the owner of the sushi restaurant. I haven't seen him much either. I hope he's doing all right. I know his business took a little bit of a, had a bit of a tough year, like all restaurants did, but hopefully he's doing all right now. But, you know, it's all about meeting people and having fun. And I hope to do that much more this year as well. Like I did a post the other day where I took like a screenshot from lots of videos with lots of friends and people I'd met. It's just nice looking at it. I post it on like Twitter, Facebook, everywhere you can find it. But looking at that, it just made me feel very lucky and grateful for all the great people I get to hang out with. Like I'm very, very lucky. Whether it's someone listening or watching or joining in. Pete Donaldson, sadly absent. I don't know if I put... Do I put a reference to the podcast in there? No. Sorry, Pete.
Oh, shit. Oh, dearie me.
I haven't seen you, have I? So you can't go in it. But maybe this year. Maybe this year.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Chucky quite a lot and her
yeah, of course,
partner,
you saw her, didn't you?
Nick. Yeah. Well, Nick, I think she had a good Christmas. She was cooking Christmas dinner, I noticed. Nick is a Nottingham Forest fan, and they had a good result at the weekend in the FA Cup. So I gave them last weekend. So I was just chatting to Nick and Chucky about that. Chucky's team are obviously in Hokkaido. And they're not
Okinawa.
Okinawa, and they're obviously not as good as my favourite team, Brentford Coffee, who just missed out on getting promoted by like 1 point. It was really disappointing. I forgot that it wasn't playoffs in J League 2, going up to J1. The big news is that you remember there was that footballer who's like 53 years old, and he's a bit of a sideshow, but he's Kazuyoshi Miura, King Kazoo. He's like a 53, 52 22-year-old footballer who inexplicably still played for a J2 side. He ended his relationship with I can't remember who it was. Is it an Osaka side or a Kyoto side? Either way, he ended his career there, but he's still playing. He's still playing, I think, in J3. So he's gone down a level at 53, but he still fancies playing it in the game.
53?
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah, really old.
You can play football past like 40.
No, you can't. You literally can't. He's a sideshow. He's a joke, but he's a good joke. It's just, you know, like how different prefectures spend a lot of money on a big plastic squid. It's basically the same sort of decision making there, to be quite frank.
What a legend. Good man. And we did just list off loads of names, but both Jackie, she's got a YouTube channel. She's got an awesome YouTube channel. Go and check her out. And Alex Shapiro, he's also got a channel called Tokyo Portfolio. It sounds way cooler than my channel ever will. Check them both out. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you right back here, do it all over again, on the Brawn Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Ta-ta.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.